Oh.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it.
Here, are you guys eating yet? Or no? You gonna use a bun? How's it going, everybody? Well, I got Chris Hain watching. Yeah. Chris, you gotta be... You had to have seen that Baker County thing, right? That's an interesting deal. Hey, buddy, yikes, we're open. Nice beard trim. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird how it, you know, I don't have like the most distinguished chin. So it, you know, definitely kind of just made my whole face go whoop. So, shorten it up. I couldn't wait. I was waiting for to be able to get a haircut before I trimmed the beard, but I was over it, man. It's fun to play with sometimes, you know, but it's like just not. I usually have always kept it tight and clean. So, G-Lag Bomb, Candace, right on. So I see that I saw when I was coming in. Dave Barnes kind of took my thunder and posted on Facebook already the council action, but the meeting, our council meeting tonight was only about 35-40 minutes, and some interesting things that came out of it. The subject matter was simply COVID and the county reopening. And from the city manager, so we had 6 hotels, motels in Brookings, and the city manager spoke to them all personally. And let's see, I don't want to forget. 2 out of the 6 were really kind of raring to go to the 100% capacity. One hotel in Brookings said they were having to turn away 10 to 15 people per weekend night. So that's pretty substantial, and that was a bit of information that I was really looking for. just how much it was really affecting them, you know, because we had heard kind of different things about what their normal capacity was, you know, what they'd normally be doing this time of year. So it was 2 of them really had issues, were ready to go for, ready for all the restrictions to be lifted. The other four were, you know, okay with the 50%. There was an issue from one of them, when hotels were originally restricted, but long-term renters were not. You know, they rented out more rooms to the long-term folks that put them at that 50% capacity, and they can't rent as many rooms to tourists, which obviously, you know, a month rate is a lot different than the weekend tourist rate. So they were looking for some wiggle room from the city council maybe to allow to take the long-term renters out of the percentage equation. But with the thing out of Baker, you know, the current court ruling there really being the law of the land, you know, right here, right now. So not sure what, I mean, I'm sure Kate Brown's going to appeal it. Don't know when that's going to be heard, and don't know what this Oregon State Supreme Court's ruling will be. But the law of the land right now being that the executive orders there are kind of null and void. So what that meant for the city council, and it didn't take long for the subject to go this way, that, you know, we enacted those restrictions based on and following the lead of the governor's orders and the governor's restrictions. So when those get called kind of null and void, you know, it definitely, like, the light bulb came on for everybody that, you know, our hotel restrictions could likely be null and void if they were challenged. So, you know, that was a fairly easy decision to make. Basically, we took away the restrictions, so it's just back to normal for all those guys. And I see some people already commenting on the new case here in Curry. Yeah, I was reading Dave Barden's comment, and that was kind of, because I wasn't sure what the council would, how everyone was going to feel about if they were going to take that Baker decision as the law of the land, or kind of be in a holding pattern until the Supreme Court heard it. But everyone was pretty much in agreement that, you know, it's today the law of the land. And I, you know, the original decision to restrict lodging, that was seemed very unnatural to most of us sitting up there. It definitely did to me. I mean, that would be, you know, that was something that I just never really could have thought would even be something we were considering. So yeah, for it to be called into question, you know, and the Baker thing, there wasn't really much of a decision to be made there. And so I think it was the right decision. I mean, I was in the voting minority last time when they decided to open it up. And I had my reasons for that decision that I made at the time. But, you know, things change. And during this whole deal, man, stuff has changed so stinking quick. on seeing that thing out of Baker County, I couldn't help but just think of all of the work and all of the time and money of everyone, you know, just what effect our governor's orders have had on this state and time and money and everything, and just kind of for it to all be, if that ruling stands, for it to all kind of be for naught. I don't know, and I don't know now what local, I'm not sure what local businesses now are going to do that are operating under those reopening guidelines and those restrictions. I don't know, you know. And through this whole thing, I found it interesting that a lot of you, we were hearing from like county sheriffs, you know, around the state and around the country. A county sheriff stands up and says, these rules are unconstitutional. I'm not going to enforce them. And there was plenty of talk in our own county, you know, waiting to see if Sheriff Ward would do something like that. And of course, you know, plenty of people encouraging him to do something like that. But what I've always found interesting about that is the enforcement authority for a lot of these rules don't come from this county sheriff. So with restaurants and stuff, it's the Oregon Health Authority, and all other businesses, it's enforced through OSHA, you know, following the governor's reopening guidelines. So, you know, what happens there? I don't know. I wish I could have gotten an answer for that one, or would know that. But that's kind of a wait and see thing, because right now, if a local restaurant just quit following the guidelines, I'm not so sure anything. I don't think anything would happen. I think I've seen and heard enough from business owners, though, that that there's a recognition, even the, like, you know, crazy, not crazy, even the freedom loving people that own a business that you know, don't like the idea of being told how to run it. a lot of those folks, a lot of our business people still kind of, they know and understand the day and time that we're in and the feeling of their customer base. And most of them desire to, restrictions or not, to still present a safe environment for people to come and do business. So I would imagine a lot of the guidelines and stuff, I bet we'll still see them followed. On the restaurant side, and you know, businesses like that have a lot of restrictions that cost them, you know, money, quite a bit of money, like restaurants. I wonder what restaurants are going to do. I don't know. I'm waiting to see that one. Someone asked me about parks and what the Baker County thing meant for parks. So with the reopening on the 15th, it pretty much opened everything is for parks, for city parks. It pretty much opened everything but playground structures and contact sports courts. So like the tennis courts were open back up, parks were open back up. Basketball is considered a contact sport, so they were left closed, and playgrounds were left closed. There wasn't talk tonight about the city opening those because of the Baker decision. Kind of surprised, actually, we didn't chat about that. But that would be, really, that would be a staff decision. I don't know. If I was to weigh in on it, I think that playground equipment, I think it's prudent to keep closed. Because there's still a disease called COVID, and it could still, you know, we won't know the outcome of all the opening back up still for a while. So, and now, of course, I'm thinking, trying to chew on, if we have a spike in cases, a spike large enough that would create a desire in the city council to put further restrictions on, I'm not so sure what, how that would work and what sort of legal basis that we could use, we could stand on. You know, when we restricted transient lodging, most of the document that was the resolution we passed referenced all the governor orders, and it was really the premise that gave us the authority there. So with that, I'll call in a question. I don't know what we could do for that. So hoping guys. It's going to be incredibly important for people taking the personal responsibility to do what's smart to protect themselves and others from COVID. And you know, I know the reality of the minds of people that live here when we have very little cases and you know, seeing from at the height of people wearing masks, just that specifically, where I think there was a time when I walked into Fred Meyer and I would say that at least half, if not more than a little half of the people were wearing masks, to where now, you know, I don't even know if I could say 10% of people are wearing masks. So, you know, if we have a few cases and it becomes serious to enough people again, I'm hoping to see more masks. Dave Barnes, kind of doubt anyone is going to be able to shut things down again without serious resistance. Yeah, and Candace, well, you better start thinking about that. Yeah, and I am, you know, and I'm the kind of guy that keeps grinding on decisions even after they're made. And that restriction on transient lodging has always weighed on me, on my mind. But I would agree, Dave Barnes, that, you know, I just don't see how it would go now. You know, let alone there's never really been much of enforcement capabilities. So especially now, I don't know. I don't know how you would even, yeah, I doubt it. I seriously doubt. Something would have to be drastically different, I think, to see any local jurisdiction try to restrict anything else. I heard an interesting thing about Harris Beach State Park. So you guys have seen it, or maybe driven by a notice that a lot of the state parks have, you know, opened back up, but they still have Harris closed. And I heard tonight that the state parks down here actually, I think I want to get the numbers right, but I want to say that they have only like 6 or 7 employees, where normally right now they'd be hiring seasonal employees and be up to about 17, 18 employees, which they haven't been authorized to do, to hire the seasonal help. So a big reason why it's closed right now is just because they don't think they have the manpower to take care of the facilities and bathrooms and everything, which is a bummer, because the rest area with that RV dump is an important thing that needs to be open. So I'm waiting to hear more from state parks when they can hire some folks, I guess, to get everything else back open. So let's see, there wasn't a whole lot on my last video comments and stuff. There were a few from the mask thing came up, and there are a number of commenters about you know, wearing a mask when you go into a store. For it, you can do that. Let's see, I'm losing my words. It can be done for no other reason than just to show respect and solidarity for the people that are worried about COVID and the people that are wearing masks. That's why I do it. I'm not deathly afraid of contracting COVID. I don't want to spread it to anybody. And when I see people, you know, in there wearing masks, and most people aren't, and just, you know, the feeling of that for that individual wearing a mask, you know, I put one on to show my care for them. And I wish more people would consider doing that, you know, going forward. So we'll see. Leslie, yeah, we saw that new Curry case. So I'm assuming they work at Sutter, live up here, and contracted it. So I don't know. Crazy. That whole Baker thing definitely just throws a whole new, it was a game changer, right? You know, moving forward, like what, I'm wondering what, you know, now what is in the, what is in the cards for local governments to be able to do? I don't know. So, guys, I think it's going to be kind of short tonight. Yeah, man, that Baker thing. I don't know. It definitely changed everything. I know that, you know, there were Supreme Court cases that came out of the Spanish flu thing. And I remember the mask wearing thing specifically, and that being ruled as constitutional to make masks mandated. But it's an interesting thing, and a counselor mentioned tonight how, you know, the day and age and the court system now and the judges we have now wouldn't necessarily rule the same way. So I don't know. Yeah, and Candace, for anyone listening, like on KCIW. Candace says, so I think we need to remember that the locals are an important part of our local economy. If we don't feel safe, we won't be spending our money. And Candace, I do believe that the majority of business people in Brookings, you know, recognize that and do care enough to try to provide a place that's safe and sanitary, even without guidelines. I mean, I've heard that from plenty of people. So I don't think there's going to be anybody, well, I don't know about anybody, but I don't think you'll see the majority of the businesses just wad up all the guidelines and just toss them and go back to business as usual. So I don't know. All right, forgive me for being cutting it short tonight, guys. I haven't had dinner or anything either, so I'm getting hungry. Oh, you're welcome, Jane Opiate. Yeah. And, you know, Chris Ann, I get what you're saying. I mean, there is a lot of... there were a lot of possibilities that I could see that haven't happened, you know, and that's good. And that's good. Things can still change, though, and there's still a lot of possibilities. And I think the idea of, like, oh, it passed. Oh, it passed. We're on the other side of it now. You know, that's foolhardy, and we need to stay diligent with that, because Corona could come here and COVID could take a hold here, and we could have serious issues. And Leslie, I see that, and I will send you an email. Okay, so guys, have a good night. I will see you tomorrow's Tuesday, tomorrow at 6, and we'll have a chat. All right. Good night, Candyberry.